I said, said no one ever.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
You should be hearing me.
Okay.
Where's the rest of it?
So I'm going to call today's meeting of the audit committee to order at 3:02. Analyst, please, do you want to take attendance?
Yes. Bartels.
Here.
Ronk.
Present.
Gaviras.
Present.
Lopez.
Here.
Walter.
Here.
On behalf of County Executive Metzger, Chris Kelly is here.
Yay.
And Comptroller Gallagher is here.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, she didn't send a representative, you know, she's here. And has a representative.
So I'll entertain a motion. Hopefully everyone has had time to look at the minutes of the September 27th. Any comments, concerns? So, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. The minutes are accepted. I'll be circulating for signature both those minutes, and we failed to sign at the last meeting. We failed to sign the minutes that we did approve, so both will be circulated. That's why you have two. Okay. 2022 external audit of the annual financial statements. Amber and I had an initial conversation with O'Connor Davies. They will be looking to begin in the coming months, and they are aware of some of the concerns as it relates to our financial division. So that's one of the reasons that we wanted to have the meeting today, also at the request of the comptroller, as it relates to those concerns. So I guess I'll begin by opening the floor on that subject in terms of our external audit.
Can I ask a question?
You may.
We are completely done with Drescher Malecki. They are not responsible for the 22 audit. I thought O'Connor Davies was responsible for the 23 audit.
They're responsible for the 22 audit, which happens in 23.
O'Connor.
Yes.
New auditors. Okay.
Right. Yeah. And on that note, if I may, just for a moment, it's my intention I will circulate it to the committee out of courtesy for the committee. I have, I had some levels of concern and, if not frustration, with certain of the interactions that we had with Drescher, which I will be putting into, I'll be formalizing from me, but I'll share with the committee.
Recent or overall?
I'd say I would describe it on some level as overall, but not recent. No, it goes back to the previous.
Oh, yeah.
There were several things came up where we reached out to them, particularly regarding capital reserve funds, that we had an extended conversation about that, and I felt that their response was totally inadequate and dismissive. And so I don't want to leave it as something that that I don't actually put down in writing in terms of my concern. Because essentially they said that it wasn't their purview, because despite the fact that the capital reserve fund was being described inaccurately, that that representations were made to them that it was accurate, and therefore they have no accountability, which sort of begs the question, why do we do an external audit if there's no verification happening?
Mm-hmm.
And I realize I'm not a financial person, but I remain frustrated about this situation, so I'm just gonna draft a letter. Again, it'll be from me personally, but I'll share it with the committee before it goes out. So now we're dealing, now it's O'Connor Davies.
I want to express on the record that I think that requiring our office to have every communication go through the legislature is actually to sharing internal controls concerns with the outside auditor, and I think the outside auditors are independent, have a set of professional standards that they act within. I understand Legislator Ronk has raised the issue of us being part of the approval process for certain payments, but we have internal controls concerns that we tried to communicate to Director Malecki that I feel like the door should be open there. We should be having at least a one-hour meeting where we are expressing those things that we are concerned about privately to the auditors directly. It's not that they are going to share something to us that you shouldn't know about, but we should be able to share with them. And we did, the first year I was in office, we did have that meeting. In later years, all that communication was curtailed, and I want this group here to know that I think that that inhibits a free flow of information and that true concerns are not being communicated the way that they should be if everything has to be filtered through the legislature.
Did you want to speak to that, Director?
I do.
Okay,
go. So, part of my concern was that you're part of the process, and, you know, and you characterized that correctly. One of the concerns that I've had and early on with Director Malecki, and one of the concerns I have with them throughout, is I really feel like they forgot who they worked for, because under the charter, it's our responsibility to conduct the external audit. So I know that there were times when Director Malecki would go to your office before coming to our office and before speaking with Amber. And to me, that is where that breakdown happens. I can only speak for myself. I can't speak for the rest of the committee, but I'd be happy to have the legislature facilitate a private meeting for you with O'Connor Davies. But to me, it's important that the external auditors know and remember who is engaging them and why that's important that they communicate through us. Not necessarily that you have to pass your concerns through us and then, you know, feel like they're being filtered, which I don't believe that's the case, but, you know, that's the way you characterized it, so that's the way I'm using it. I think that Amber would pass along, you know, your concerns directly, without filtering them or altering them. But again, I mean, I can only speak for myself. It would please me if you'd have a meeting with them to discuss your concerns, but the idea to me is it would be filtered, or not filtered, but scheduled through the legislature. That way, the auditors remember who they work for.
So pre-2012, I just want to remind this body that the auditors were actually hired by the comptroller's office, and I think that depending on what we learn over the next few weeks and months, you know, that may be something that should be reconsidered. So I'm just going to say that as it is, and we'll see. We'll see how things go over the next few months. But at one time, that was our contract to have. That was changed in the charter, probably as a result of arguments between the executive and the comptroller, maybe even more so than the legislature. So, you know, we look forward to meeting with the external auditor, sharing our concerns, and it's really not a matter of scheduling, it's a matter of telephone, where you communicate something and then it's somebody else is communicating it, and it definitely does cut off the free flow of back and forth. So that process of having to go through a third party means that every question they want to ask back to us, it should be a free flow of conversation to really get to the heart of those things that we are most concerned about. And it's nothing that Amber can't hear, but it definitely changes the tenor in the room to have a third party in that conversation.
Okay.
I mean, I already went, so if he wants to go, but I have responses to many of those things.
Well, I guess I just wonder if there might not be a middle ground where we direct them to have a free fun conversation with the comptroller, you know, where it's still coming from us. We're informed that that is going to happen. Maybe they even have some, I mean, I would assume we'd want some documentation of the kinds of who they're talking to. I mean, not specifics, but who they're talking to and when. And so we could request the detailed information about who they've been reaching out to, but that we kind of make the window a bit bigger than one meeting that would allow for that space without feeling like we're out of the loop completely.
If I could just answer that to say, Drescher Malecki did not believe that they were allowed to call our office and ask us a question directly. I think that is not a good thing for county transparency or accountability. That's it. Yeah.
I just want to, I'll start by saying, you know, you said pre-2012, and that's absolutely true. You know, it's, you know, 11 years ago. Pre-2009, the chair of the legislature was the, you know, chief executive of the county. You know, I don't know what difference it makes what happened in 20, you know, before, you know, the Charter Revision Commission changed it, and they had their reasons for changing it, and, you know, whether it was pissing match between Elliot and Mike, or whether it was reasoned and well thought out, you know, way to make the audit more independent. I'm not going to go back and second guess those folks. I will say that the free flow of ideas that happened between Drescher and your office, you know, in the very beginning, I think was the impetus behind not really understanding who they work for and not understanding who that they should be giving information to first. You know, because we would end up getting information that had been filtered through your office. You know, using the word filtered the same way that you used it about what would happen to our office. So I mean, you know, with respect to what Eve said, I think that it's important for the legislature to know, and Amber, who's, you know, handling the external audit on our staff, to know who the auditors are speaking with.
That's different than knowing the content of every question they have for our office, and that's what I'm talking about.
I understand.
So scheduling makes complete sense to me. I have no problem with
that. Okay, it didn't sound like that from your response to that.
But
so
I'm telling you that Drescher Malecki, the auditors, did not feel they could call and ask us a question directly, and I do think that that impairs our ability to communicate internal controls concerns to them. So do that with it. As you know, it's your contract. You'll decide how you want to handle it. I'm bringing to you the fact that I believe that there was an impairment in that relationship that stopped us from fully communicating with the auditors, and I think we should change that.
May I ask for clarification? Are you suggesting that as a result of that impairment, that questions were left unasked or unanswered?
Yes, I feel like there is a bunch of questions we had around testing, specifically with regard to those properties that are in the uncollectible category, and we didn't really go the distance on that issue.
You
with them.
You did not
with them, with
okay.
them.
And but why? What
we
impeded
just,
you,
know, you we were
going
resistance? Whether it was them, whether it was going through a third party, I don't know. But they were very uncomfortable about that. And we continue to have the same question about this A260 line and what makes up the original basis of that uncollectible category. That receivable bucket is not well documented. We've talked to finance about it. They've told us, well, we don't really know what's in there. You know, we started to go down that path, and that communication line just did not continue and became very awkward. And I just think if we were able to have a back and forth with them, it would have been a little bit smoother, and we may have reached some conclusions quicker or learned more. Things
yeah.
that we still have questions about now.
I certainly think it's a worthy discussion for the committee, and I'm inclined to say that, speaking just for myself, that I'm comfortable with scheduling a meeting for you all. But I also feel some level of concern, maybe, about understanding what the situation is where you would want to give them information that you wouldn't want to share with the legislature, whether that's with Amber or a representative of the committee, especially considering that, you know, your role and our role as it relates to finance. Like, my bigger question is why would we not have a seat at the table to hear your concerns? We could maybe amplify them if we understood them.
Well, let me just think about it for a minute to say, we're sitting here having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on the record. This audio is going to be available for anyone in the public to listen to, beginning tomorrow or the next day. And I do have financial concerns that I do not think should be publicly on the website.
But that's not what I'm speaking
so
about.
So you're talking about having it. I'm just telling
yeah.
you, Tracy, that it
yeah.
impairs our direct communication if we have to have another member there. It just does. It changes. The things that we are talking about are often things that are the types of things that auditors specifically think about. And I just found that it changed our communication to have to go every question through the legislature to the auditor. I can't really explain it more than that, except to say that that's my truth. I'm bringing
yeah.
you what,
no,
what
and
I observed.
No, and
yeah.
it's like I said, it's a worthy discussion. Legislative Gavars, go ahead.
I was sitting quiet because I wanted to hear the whole story before, and you started going down that road, and I'm going to finish your question is, so if you had a concern, why does it need the auditors to do that investigating? Why wouldn't that, just based on that one concern, why wouldn't that come out of your office investigation into the tax auctions?
we did not feel that the auditors had a good grasp or had done sufficient testing in a particular area, and we began to question them on that last year.
But I'm saying,
okay,
if you had a concern with the way things were working, why, as the controller, wouldn't you then devote your resources within your office?
We'll have our audit in hand tomorrow.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying. So I think there was an avenue there. The other part to this is where I agree, some things should not be public until we're done and the process has been gone through. But I think there are ways to where there's still an inclusion of representatives from the legislature. It can't obviously be the whole committee, because then it would be public, but the chair or Amber, somebody being involved, so we at least know what the exchange is between our auditors and people from the county.
What I'm telling you is that impairs the free flow of communication between us and the external auditor. If you want that, that's what you're going to get. You're going to have this, it chastens the way that we speak with the auditors. It just does. I'm sorry if it's uncomfortable to say that. I'm telling you something that is hard to say, but it's true. If every question we want to pass to the auditors, or every piece of information we want to pass to the auditors, has to come through the legislative office, or has to go through a legislative representative, that changes the tone and character. Okay.
Sorry, maybe I'm not coming across clear. Not go through, happen with. So in a room with your office, one person from here is sitting there. They're not the filter. They're not going to even say, let's say they don't say a word. They just sit there and listen to what's going on. So we understand what's being potentially exposed, or areas telling the auditors to direct their attention to. So we are aware of it, not that we are going to filter and play, you give me your paper, I'm going to look at it and then pass it down. No, I'm not suggesting that at all. I'm thinking that it would be in a subset of this group or some other setup where it would be in the same room, but you have free reign. You can say whatever you want, you can
Great.
Tell them
we'll
whatever
continue
you want.
As we were, not, you can just ignore my comments, it's fine.
But I don't legislative.
Yeah. So, first of all, I want to separate, because this started with the auditors feeling like they can just go ask you questions. So, and then the other one is you asking the auditors questions. So, first of all, I want to separate those, because those are very different things. I think, in terms of the auditors feeling like they can go ask you questions as a part of their audit, we don't want anything getting in the way of them feeling that. And I think we can very clearly articulate, when you have questions for the comptroller, you should absolutely go ask them. However, that said, the idea of the comptroller's office, not you, the comptroller's office, freely asking our auditors to look at things or do things without us knowing makes me very uncomfortable. I trust you, but in process, like, what if a comptroller started asking the auditors to go do something that was not aligned with what we had wanted them to do? And so this goes back to who they work for. In terms of asking them to do something or look into something, I feel like absolutely we need to know that that is a part of it, because, A, we would want the information, but, B, we might, I mean, to not disagree, but we might say, no, actually, that is not something we want to spend our money on. I don't know what that is, and maybe it would never happen, but I don't think it should just be carte blanche that whatever the comptroller's office would like our auditors to do, they would do. And so, even as simple as having Amber in the room or whatever, but I just don't. So, again, I want to separate. Absolutely, auditor may call comptroller anytime, but when it's your questions to them, or comptroller's office's questions to them, I feel like it's an important other distinction.
Legislator Lopez.
So, it would be difficult, like, if they were to call you to put together an impromptu type meeting with somebody with the legislature. I get that, and it wouldn't inhibit, you know, that free flow of information. But if you had something that was just a matter of record, like if you recorded it or had whatever questions were asked and answered to be shared with us or somebody on this committee, I think would kind of solve the issue. So it's a matter of record. Yeah, that's why we have minutes. You know, and when
I think this meeting would be one that you wouldn't want to have minutes at.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
but
right. But I'm saying that's why we have minutes. I'm not saying necessarily saying that we need minutes, but you know, in case if somebody from this committee wants to know exactly, you know, the exchange during that meeting, we have that opportunity to know exactly what happened. So.
As you guys wish. Proceed as you wish. We will, you know, I just figured I would, you know, they have a standard audit program. We're not asking them to audit anything else. We're sharing with them our internal controls concerns, some of which, you know, are sensitive and may not actually bear fruit. So it may not be something we want the whole legislature chasing after. You know, we can make their audit more efficient by directing them to the things that we have seen that are internal controls problems. I'm sorry I got testy. I'm really just here to say that having all of our back and forth go through the legislature or through a legislative representative, it does change the character of those conversations. I feel like observing my team that they are less forthcoming, knowing that there is an audience outside of auditors, and I was just wishing to express that to you. Happy to have Amber or a member of the legislature set up that meeting. Happy to have them come back to you, meaning the auditors come back to you and tell you the gist of the conversation. I think it's a mistake to send you written documentation of every issue that was raised in that meeting, but it's going to be as you guys wish. I'm trying to tell you how I think we can improve the audit process so that your contract, your external auditor, is getting as much as they can out of us, not so that we're directing their survey or research or audit into certain materials. We're trying to raise them internal audit concerns that might educate what they look at and what they test.
Thanks. I mean, not to beat a dead horse, I kind of come down with some of my other colleagues. I think Legislator Gavaris had said, you know, one person in the room, it doesn't have to be a legislator, it doesn't have to be a non-auditor. There's a certified public accountant sitting at the end of the table who is the one who, you know, quarterbacks the internal or the external audit from our office. It could be her. So I don't understand, you know, your staff would be concerned about somebody who's not an auditor. You have someone who's done audits before who, you know, the only difference between them and your staff is one floor and walking down the hallway. So I don't understand the concern.
2 years ago, we had a private conversation with the external auditor about what we thought were the internal controls concerns. I'm telling you I'd like to continue that. You're saying you want to have somebody in the room, so that's how it will be.
I haven't even said that I want someone
in
the room.
Yeah, I think you're drawing conclusions from what is a conversation right now. It's not I don't think we've reached a conclusion. But I will say, I mean, I agree with Vice Chair Walter about their ability to call you. It seems a little bit limiting to have that call to have to go through. If they have questions, they should be able to get answers. But again, I'll reiterate that to the extent that you have concerns about internal controls, I totally respect the need for those concerns to remain private, to not be on the record, to not be on even from the viewpoint that to actually test those concerns, you don't want to transmit them in any way publicly. I totally appreciate that. But I'm failing to see how leaving the legislature out of those concerns, even to the extent of the example you gave where you didn't feel that they really heard you on concerns last year, had, speaking for myself as the chair of this committee and the chair of the legislature, if I had known that you had specific concerns that you wanted addressed by Drescher and Malecki, I could have brought those to Drescher and Malecki and highlighted that and said that it was critically important.
Our meeting was with the we had a legislative representative at our one conversation with Drescher and Malecki last year. Right? Is that correct?
I don't think they ever came to have a conversation.
Oh.
And their response to me was that I'm not allowed to talk to your office anymore. It's literally what the verbatim response.
We'll
get in trouble for talking to you.
And again, you know, I think that might be an overreaction on their part, and had that been brought to our attention, we would have rectified the situation. But
absolutely,
the fact is that we were left out of that conversation happening at all, and then we weren't able to rectify the situation with the auditor. And that comes from a history of them doing the wrong thing. To me, I think a lot of the ills were on the part of Drescher and Malecki and not on your office. But
my point is we don't want to go back down a rabbit hole in the first year with a new auditor and have the same problems arise.
So maybe it would be good to, at this outset, really tell O'Connor Davies what the expectation is. Yeah. Because I definitely feel like, you know, we had concerns that just felt like they were brushed aside, that we shouldn't bother talking to them. They weren't allowed to talk to us. That every, you know, and I understand, like, if we're asking for additional documentation, that could create additional expenses, and I think that is a concern, and I understand that. And going back to what Legislator Guevara said, you know, we didn't want to retest things that they were already testing, but, you know, county resources are already paying them to test. So, you know, I'm happy we're starting with a new auditor, but it would be really nice to feel like if we had an internal control concern, we could speak to them.
Well, and especially this year. I mean, that's
exactly
why I reached out to have even the initial conversation, just to, you know, we understand that there may be additional concerns this year. There may be additional areas that require additional testing over the norm. So it's not my expertise, first and foremost. So, yes.
Where does that get documented? Is it in a scope of work, Schedule C, like somewhere? Like, I'm hearing this, and I think we should have some formal documentation of our expectation in terms of the communication to assure that there's no confusion, that they are allowed to talk to the comptroller's office freely. But I assume, I mean, we have it recorded, but I think it doesn't hurt to somehow in our communication with them be clear about how this all...
We could set up a flowchart.
Yeah.
PowerPoint.
Well, I think that, I mean, several things. These are people, just for myself and for Ken, these are people that we've worked with before in other capacities.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a level of comfort there, just even from the first conversations with them. Heartened. I think
is it
we'll
Nick? Is Nick our...
Chris Cobb.
Chris. Oh, Chris. I wasn't sure if DeSantis was still part of the whole...
Is DeSantis going to be on the bigger...
He is still an audit partner at the
yeah.
firm.
Yeah, but Chris
yeah.
Cuff is,
yeah.
is ours. So, you know, I think we'll have an additional conversation. Then we anticipate having them come in person to a meeting with this committee, well in advance of them doing their work.
And
so
I think that a lot of the in-person stuff is going to be easier with O'Connor Davies than it was with Drescher because of the travel distance.
Yeah.
You know, every time Drescher and Malecki wanted to come down, they had to travel down from Buffalo. You know, these guys are in Orange County and Rockland County, so.
Yeah, I mean, they were prepared to come as soon as today, but I felt we needed to have a conversation first.
Apparently we did.
Yeah, now I'm extra happy that we did that.
So can I just reiterate, though? I do feel, though, while I respect that you have that, you know, this relationship, when I hear that there's been a ebb and flow of comfort and communication with the comptroller's office, having some kind of documentation of what our intent is now for future legislation. You know, this next audit committee next year is not going to be this group right here. It's going to look very different. And so I just feel like it doesn't...
At least not three of us.
Right. It doesn't hurt to sort of document, like, this is how we think it should go. We think that they should have free access and comfortably asking comptroller any questions that, you know, whatever it is, I just feel like it's smart to document it somehow.
I couldn't agree more with you.
Yeah. Okay.
Mark it down. I saw Chris's eyes.
That is recorded.
Okay.
Posterity. Thank you for hearing my concerns.
We'll use it as an outtake.
That's right.
Repeat.
It'll be one line in my memoir.
Yes.
And there was that one time even I agreed.
Comptroller.
That
so
was the one you could agree more.
You know, just to highlight some things that were very concerning in last year's audit that we asked Drescher Malecki about and did not get acceptable answers back on were, one, we asked specifically for the cash handling policies from the finance department. We received something that was a very old document. The document, the policy document, referred to HTE as our financial system.
They were close.
We went back to Drescher Malecki, very concerned. I mean, are they reviewing? You know, HTE has not been the county's financial system since 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So that gave me pause that they didn't really review these documents. And so, you know, these policies. That's one example. So, I mean, in a way, I think it was a unique circumstance where our team was really feeling like, these external auditors aren't really doing everything that we need done, and they're not really reviewing everything that they should. And so I think there's a fresh start here. I can't imagine O'Connor Davies will come in and not look at some of these things, but I wanted you guys to know, you know, that is not something that I necessarily brought back to this committee, but is concerning. You know, that means the finance department had not reviewed themselves that policy in way too long.
But again, to echo Vice Chair Walter, I wish you would. Because, I mean, that's, even though we're the audit committee with a specific charge by the charter, it's either here or the finance committee where we'd want to hear about those things. I mean, Amber and I were just talking about the cash policy, and I was asking to pull the most recent, and you reiterated basically what you just said, that 2010 is what is the best we could
These meetings are structured, as well as the way Ways and Means is structured, do not lend themselves well to us having an open dialogue about issues and that are, you know, that we're seeing as we move along, right? If we want to present a formal sort of like, here are the audits we're working on, yes, but things like that, and maybe if this committee was meeting more often, you know, Ways and Means is just so bogged down in just the day-to-day of getting contracts done and moving through what we need, there might be more of an opportunity, yeah, if this body met more than twice a year, you know, more than just the necessary times to work with the external, yeah.
Okay.
So that's the thing that goes again to your point earlier, was that they're being told they're signed off by finance, and they're just taking that and not, there's no checks to it. So that's exactly what sort of is just echoing what was said before. I know there's always differences between private sector and public sector, so I'm going to just say what I come from with the hospital. We have every person in a management position meets with the auditors, with the COO, and they ask you the same set of questions, and basically, are there any areas of fraud, potential fraud, waste, or abuse going on, and what are your areas of risk? And they ask everybody that question, and they freely get to, you know, voice their concerns. On top of that, 10% of our employees get an anonymous survey asking them those same questions, that are there areas of concern that during our audit we should be looking at? Are there areas where there's fraud, waste, abuse, or risk for impropriety that are going on? Where should we be focusing? And those are sent back to the auditors. We don't, as the hospital, don't get to see any of those results until the audit is done. So there's no way to know what people said during that. I would say this is the question for the attorneys, but what circumstances would we be allowed to go into executive session, either in this committee or in Ways and Means? I do understand what you're saying. When the microphone is going, sometimes, especially because people may be listening to it later, you don't want to tip your hat as to what we want them to look at. But we as the legislature, I think, want to know where our areas of vulnerability are. And I just think if there were ways to go into executive session, that might resolve this. So I guess that's a question for our council.
Yeah. Okay. I'll follow up on that for you.
Chair.
Yes.
I do think a survey of specifically finance department staff would be a really good thing for the new auditors to do.
Well, it's not even finance staff, because the highway department, I'm telling you, when we did, we used to do this at the town too. The town, you'd be surprised, we found out that employees were stealing gas from the town because an employee at the highway department anonymously reported that his coworkers were doing it and explained us the process on how they were able to do it, even though we had the card thing with the mileage. They explained the process to us. That's how we discovered it was happening. We had to put it in the camera system just to now combat it.
I can tell you that.
Employees are your best eyes.
Pre-charter, and I think I have some of the binders in the chair's office, pre-charter, we regularly solicited anonymous. We sent out forms to every employee in the county, and it was not just the possibility of, if you see something, say something on this form, but also suggestions for improvement. But often those suggestions for improvement pointed to weaknesses and failings in the system. A lot came out of those documents, usually handwritten, dropped, you know, we had no idea who they came from. So I think that a survey is a good idea, certainly in terms of talking to the auditors and potentially even, you know, a broader survey county. I don't know how that would be facilitated through the exec's office or through an outside anonymous, but I think we're certainly ready for something like that. Okay, so any other discussions on this? We'll get back and we'll work on drafting protocol so that it's codified in a way that outlasts us. Okay, is there any new business before we go to unfinished business? Any other new business that anyone wants to talk about? Yes.
We are going to have a series of internal control recommendations. They have already been communicated to management, our first set of recommendations. I want this body to know, if you want a copy of them, we can certainly send that to you.
Yeah. Okay. That would be excellent. Thank you. Okay, the compensation salary studies on unfinished business. Again, thank you to the comptroller for doing that research and finding out about the outside firm that did it for other counties for a reasonable price. And thank you to financial analyst Clark Feaster, who noticed that on the bid board, a compensation salary study went out as of April. So that went from personnel. And it's a full compensation and classification analysis. It's almost, the best we could tell, it's an identical RFP from the Evergreen RFP. So I think it's worthy of our talking about it. We can circulate that RFP to this committee. It was just brought to my attention today. The bid board came out yesterday. So. The concern, the concern really is that it's the old RFP, so it doesn't fully capture the things that our resolution and policy asked for. And I'm not sure why that is, and I'm not sure why that went without any conversation with the legislature or without any updating to the RFP.
I can just relook at it. I mean, okay. It's an oversight, it's not an intention.
But it's already out, and it's, you know.
You can pull things back okay. as they go out. It's not. It's
you can issue addendums.
Okay, so
you
might
want to. Do whatever
wanna,
I want.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, just to be clear, ours hasn't gone out.
No, ours didn't go out, no, because we had this
you're
back and forth
here.
You're
doing a separate one?
Well, we've been discussing
maybe not.
This for, yeah, we've been discussing this.
We were under the understanding, and we budgeted for and communicated during the entire budget process that we intended on doing this, so we were doing it to comply with the legislative policy.
I
had no idea that you guys had budgeted for your own study.
So wait, can I just clarify? If that's true, then that would mean that this current RFP follows exactly what we had said in the resolution. I mean, only if that's true. Like if the resolution.
No, I think it was just an oversight by the department that it didn't follow to the letter what your policy stated. The intention is to comply with the policy. There is no room there.
Right, so my point being is either it happened on its own, missing the fact that we have a resolution requesting it,
mm-hmm.
or it happened knowing we had the resolution, and then I would assume the language of the resolution, just like I've seen in other RFPs, the language in the RFP matches the language in the resolution. So I think we need clarity. Was it someone put it out without remembering that we had it, or did someone put it out due to the fact that we have a resolution?
It was due to the fact that there was a resolution, but I think it's an oversight that they didn't include your exact language. I think that's it. It's not anything other than that.
So the one, I mean, I think it's, that's fine.
What language is this?
Well, there's all the language of the resolution. I mean, I can give
the
you
specifics
the,
that the,
well,
the
specifics
that the policy
of the requirement.
Calls for.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the, I actually don't recall a budget conversation about the you budgeting for a personnel study, because we had extensive debate here about and in the legislature and in Ways and Means about how much the legislature was willing or not willing to spend on such a study, and it became, and in fact the resolution contemplated that and suggested maybe it would be done in-house and maybe the comptroller would take it on, and we're grateful to the comptroller's office for saying you would do whatever asked, but that it might cost more and require more personnel. Or that we do it internally. I know that the resolution, I don't have it in front of me, or maybe I do, contemplated an internal, a potential internal look. So I don't recall.
Definitely did not, because we were also pretty convinced in this group until the comptroller did her work that it was going to be ridiculously expensive. So we had no idea the amount. I guess I would like more clarity how it was budgeted and where it was budgeted, because I don't recall any.
It's in personnel.
And the management study was done in-house.
Right.
Management was done in-house, and upon finishing that, the discussion centered around including civil service titles as well. And the other part of when we got to the end of the management salary study, we realized we didn't have the internal expertise to really do an analysis on the duties of the positions and comparing it to other counties. So we budgeted for it in personnel in order to do the external study. And that was talked about.
What was the budget for it?
I don't know. I don't know offhand.
Okay. I mean,
we have a very large budget.
Just ask, because that was the thing that we were most stymied about was not having.
And I remember several times in several committees people joking about, are we actually going to do it this time? And we said yes, and we budgeted for it. So.
So I guess I'd be curious to see the know what the RFP says, know how much was
budgeted
for it.
We can circulate
it. Oh, you got it.
It says it's 1,600 positions, 421 job titles. So is that, it doesn't specifically say not including management, but does that not include management? Or is
no, it includes all
everybody.
Titles, everybody. We do not have the internal capability to do this. Like a true duties kind of analysis is what we need to understand if we're going to compare ourselves to other like regions or other like counties, that we can really look into this and come at it with a plan.
Where did this conversation happen? Because I do not. I mean, this is a conversation.
I mean,
that
I
you've been
keep
deepened.
Answering the same way. It was in multiple committee meetings. We budgeted for it. I was in Ways and Means where it happened. I know it happened in other committees. Like, I don't know.
Aren't
so
we the only committee that's talked about this?
No, Ways and Means talked about it.
Ways and Means talked about it too, but
yeah.
I don't remember talking about it with the exec side saying that they were budgeting for it.
When we were in Ellenville and
it was Ellenville,
Dawn,
but it was also in there.
Presented her budget. I feel like it was just a top line. This is in here, kind of part of the conversation.
Yes,
I remember it being budgeted for. But I also remember, and you know, no disrespect to Chris or the executive's office, but. You know, we were told by many members of the former administration that we were going to do it, and it never happened. And I think that's where the confusion comes
from. They did submit a management salary study last year. That did happen. They didn't go into the civil service titles because we didn't have the expertise or the ability to do something like that. They did give to the legislature an analysis done by Budget and Innovation on the management titles.
Right, and the conversation was that the resolution, you know, that the resolution that we passed was for a larger study than that.
Yes, I don't know, like, what
I
the cadence was of what came before, but the idea was that we were going outside, and that was it. So we budgeted the money to go outside.
I remember it being budgeted.
I remember also the conversation that March found the company that did it much cheaper, because at one time it was being talked about $90,000, $100,000 was being budgeted for it, and I think you found one for like 40 or 30, right? So
our, if I may just point out that our resolution stated that that this study was to be commissioned by and for submission and review by the Ulster County Audit Committee.
Okay.
So,
this is my first audit committee meeting, so.
Yeah. So,
well,
I mean, I feel like we do
you.
Have to get engaged in this discussion and have to include this, and probably need to have someone from the audit committee as a part of the
review.
I mean,
happy to have whoever wants to join. I'll call Ed after this. I'll pull it and I'll add in the language.
And you'll get.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
It does read like our, I mean, in my basic memory, like our resolution, I feel like. Like, unless you've noticed things, it seems to suggest the stuff that we had talked about.
No, it's the same as that language is unchanged from the Evergreen study, which was years before. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, it still did. I mean, things we talked about seem to be addressed in there.
resolution.
The date of the resolution.
The date of the resolution.
Oh, this is February 15th, 2022. I mean, it also required that we complete it prior to the 2023 budget cycle.
Oops.
So we're behind. Yeah, we've had this discussion
here.
It's like we're a little bit of groundhog day on that one. But, okay. So
I will change the language, but what type, like, we obviously don't want to wait for another audit committee to go
back out.
So I'm just going to change it and circulate it and get it back out so we can, because right now it's out there for 6 weeks and it would be returning on May 5th. Mm-hmm. I can make this change in minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Are you okay with just like me working with Amber potentially?
Yes. I am. Is everyone okay with that?
Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Thank you. I want to get this done. This is pretty needed for the organization. We're struggling in a lot of our different titles in civil service and management right now.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Cool.
All right. Anything else anyone would like to talk about?
Just to follow up, just also, Chris, if some, it would be useful to share when you get a chance how much was budgeted for.
I just put the note in, absolutely.
But keep that internal because, again, we don't want to flag it to the.
For sure.
Yes.
To the bidder, so. But we've discussed that over and over. And especially because we were very surprised by the Burke group's numbers.
But you never know. That's
exactly.
There may all come in and something very different.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. Okay. All right. So we will be scheduling another meeting. The next meeting will likely, unless there's a different need for it, we'll have O'Connor Davies here with us. In the meantime, we'll get some drafting of understanding together for that engagement, but we'll do that in fairly short order. Okay? Thank you all for taking the time. Short notice.
I'm going to adjourn.
Okay. Is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
You guys, I neglected to introduce our new director of internal audit and control, Charles Dinstall, a CPA with 8 years experience.
Awesome.
And we're really happy to have him here, sort of as we're working through a lot of stuff right now.
Yes.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Yeah. Coming at an exciting time.